It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today for Rob Ferret. Many New Year's resolutions revolve around the idea of getting healthier. And one option for making sure you're getting all the vitamins and nutrients you need is to take dietary supplements.
But how do you know if you need to take supplements, and how many should you take? There have been a lot of conflicting headlines lately about the safety and effectiveness of some of these supplements.
So we've got an expert with us to give us some of the basics. Diane Burt is a professor in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Iowa State University. Diane, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
I want to start out with maybe defining supplements, if that's something possible to do. In some of the reading I've done with this, it seems as though supplements kind of cover the waterfront. There's supplements for practically everything out there. But in your work, how do you define a supplement?
Well, a supplement would be something that you would add to your diet, generally because, you know, you think it may help make assure that you meet nutrient requirements, or in some cases, people might think they want to exceed nutrient requirements. And in addition, there are non-nutrient supplements. There are botanical supplements that people take, again, to add to their diet, things that generally aren't going to be present in foods. Examples would be echinacea, or even things like peppermint. So there's quite a variety of supplements out there. I would say, in general, people take these things without a good, sound foundation that suggests they're going to improve their health. They just think, well, they can't hurt.
And the commercials don't hurt either. You know, I mean,
well,
you see the commercials, and boy, all your problems are solved with a little pill.
Exactly. You have to realize there is a huge industry pushing the supplements. And there's government agencies that are trying to get data to find out if the supplements help, and they're small, small effort in comparison to the supplement industry, which is trying to convince consumers that they need these things.
And I want to get back to the government agency aspect of this, because, and I guess this is my own ignorance, but I guess I assumed that I kind of thought these were medicine and were regulated in that fashion. But as it turns out, they're regulated more as a food product. And could you explain that difference to me?
Exactly. Supplements, if you go back into the 70s and 80s, the supplement industry was much smaller in the U.S., and supplements were regulated much more cautiously. In the 90s, laws came through, one's called Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, or acronym DSHEA, and that law allowed supplements to be marketed with very little data suggesting they would be efficacious. And it said that as long as a manufacturer doesn't say they will prevent, treat, or mitigate disease, they can say all kinds of things. So we have a lot of supplement marketing going on, not because the data's improved, but because the laws changed back in the 90s. And a lot of the public are not aware of that. They think, the FDA regulates these things, and if they say these things, they must be true. That's not the case for dietary supplements.
So does any agency regulate them?
Only if you get a body count, and by that I mean dead people.
And have there been instances of that?
Yes. Ephedra was, and you may have heard of it.
Sure, yeah.
It was largely for weight loss, and they got a large enough body count on ephedra that they were able to pull it off the market. I believe the supplement industry is still fighting the banning of ephedra. They're saying, well, gee, if people use it properly, it's not a problem. But when you have this heavy marketing, people feel, well, gee, it's safe. If the government's allowing it on the market, it must be safe, and the more is the better, right? And a lot of people don't use them properly. And of course, we don't even know what proper is either.
Well, and that's the other thing, and you alluded to that at the beginning of the interview. that a lot of people use a supplement of one kind or another without really taking building a foundation for it, without thinking about it in a more holistic sense. They've seen the marketing or they heard it from a friend or whatever it might be. Could you discuss that a little bit and how large of an issue you think that might be?
It's a huge issue. My understanding is with different population groups and different types of supplements, somewhere between, 30% and 50% of the population are using supplements. And the only time you really need to take I don't know if I have another call trying to come in on this line. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
But the only time that you really need to take supplements is if a doctor has recommended that this is something that you should take. Let's say you've had a lot of blood loss. You might need to go on a supplement that has some of the nutrients that help you rebuild that blood, iron, some of the B complex. But you'd be under the care of a physician. A pregnant woman, obviously, there's extra demands on a woman during pregnancy, and supplements are recommended at that time. But in general, the people who are taking supplements are, it's incredible. They're the most educated, they're the most wealthy, and they're the people who need them the least.
Well, then, that provides quite the challenge, then, I would think, for somebody who is trying to regulate them, who is trying to change the way the market works. Because if you've got, say, a supplement industry that has a lot of funding behind it, if you've got a well-educated populace, you could say, well, what's wrong with that? These are smart people. They know what they're getting themselves into.
Well, that's right, and that's probably why we're not going to see significant change in the near future. I don't really foresee change. I think that the FDA has tried to modify a bit the way DSHEA was implemented, and it's not getting anywhere. So I think we're just going to have to try to better educate the population that they really, most of us don't need these. The only supplements I have taken in my lifetime are for pregnancy. When I was a young, rapidly growing child, my physician recommended iron. And I had a period of time where I had low iron in my blood, and as a young adult, and I took iron then, but only at the time that it was recommended. In the dark time of the year, like we are now, I do take vitamin D. I'm up in the age category where I apparently don't produce as much of it, and I have been taking vitamin D. But these general supplements that are marketed so heavily to us, I don't take personally.
So how do you answer the idea, though, that some people say, well, we might not need them, but really, what can it hurt? It's just extra vitamin D, or it's extra nutrients, or whatever it might be.
Well, what we're finding is in the studies where they have actually given supplements in controlled trials to people and monitored them over a long term, is that in general that we're not seeing benefits. Particularly if the people are healthy to start with, we're not seeing benefits in them. And we are seeing evidence of some detriment. And sometimes it may be in people who have health risks, particularly if you go back to some of the beta-carotene work where they actually gave beta-carotene, hoping that it would reduce cancer rates. Well, in smokers, it actually didn't. It actually increased lung cancer rates. And there's other examples of that as well. So the idea that, well, it can't do harm, the data that we have collected suggests that's probably not true. We don't really know the optimal level of vitamins. We know, that we have recommended allowances that people should take. We have some areas where we think that if you get up higher than this, you may be reaching toxic levels. But the data on those values is not as solid as we would like. So there's a lot of uncertainty in what's optimal. So just taking something because you think that it's not going to be harmful is probably not a good idea.
So would you recommend actually talking to your physician about whether this is something you ought to be considering?
Yes, I definitely would. I suggest that people who are taking supplements consult with their physician on it, and who people who are considering taking supplements also consult with their physician.
We're talking about vitamins and dietary supplements during this half hour with Diane Burt, a professor in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Iowa State University.
And we want to hear from you. Do you take dietary supplements, and why do you take them? Do you believe that they actually do improve your health? Do you have questions or concerns? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this discussion in a second, but don't forget, if you'd like to join in, 800-642-1234.
We're taking your calls now. Do you have questions about supplements? Do you take supplements? Why or why not? And do you think that they improve your health? Our number, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Diane Burt this half hour, a professor in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Iowa State, about supplements, the idea of nutritional supplements, and whether they are good or whether they are not so good for you. Let's go to the phones. Listeners would like to join in, and Kelly is with us. It looks like she is from Salem. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I had a question. My mom takes several different supplements pretty much at every meal. She's popping a pill for something. And she says, oh, well, I heard on Dr. Oz, this or that, and gives a lot of credit to kind of famous TV doctors. Is there any legitimacy to that? Or should I tell her, you know, hey, do some more research? You know, she'll tell me, you know, don't drink coffee. It's very bad for you because of the caffeine and everything else. And then she'll take a supplement of coffee extract at lunch for her metabolism. Just seems counterintuitive.
All right. Kelly, thanks so much for that call. And Diane Burt, you know, Kelly brings up a really interesting point because TV doctors are ubiquitous these days. And, you know, you heard what Kelly's mom is doing. She hears it from Dr. Oz or other physicians on the air. And all of a sudden, she's got a bottle of pills in front of her. How do you talk to somebody like that, particularly when it is so pervasive in the media?
Yeah, it's a real problem. This over-medication, I mean, this isn't just with supplements. Often it's, you know, people taking over-the-counter meds for, you know, over-medicating. I've heard stories of people who have, you know, a table full of pills and they run their hand over and the spirit is supposed to tell them which bottle is going to be good for them. And it's a real problem because a lot of these things probably interact in ways we don't know. As I mentioned in the earlier segment, we have really inadequate information about what's optimal. We do know a little bit about what's, you know, probably getting to be too much, and we have a growing evidence of interactions. So probably taking a mix of things that have not been studied previously is a very bad idea. Again, I would recommend that that she take all of the bottles that her mom's taking, or have her mother, if she can get her to do this, take them into her physician and say, okay, this is what I'm taking. She possibly, if she does have some health issues, is taking other pharmaceutical agents for particular health concerns, and her physician can help her find out if she might be getting some interactions that could either be blocking the value of the medicine she needs for health issues, or could be interacting in very negative ways. I really don't know how to counter the media push for supplements, both TV and, you know, we're bombarded by it. Other than, you know, just keeping on pushing on better education of the population.
Let's go to Oshkosh right now, and Doug is with us. Hi, Doug.
Hello. I'm calling because I wanted to talk about a supplement that I took. I ended up with body cramps and didn't know why. And, I mean, they were, you know, in my arms if I was sawing a tree limb or whatever. I mean, I had them in my back, I had them all over. And friends of mine said, well, take calcium and vitamin D, and the vitamin D will help the calcium be absorbed by your body better, and you'll get rid of the cramps. So foolishly, I did that. Ended up with blood in my urine and ended up with kidney stones, which they had to go in and painfully remove. And then by talking to my doctor, I stayed off of it. And it wasn't a very high dose, but we figured out it was my high blood pressure medication that was causing the body cramps. And by changing that, I got back to normal. So it just goes to show how fine-tuned your body is and what you don't need and what can affect you.
Doug, thanks for the call. And Diane Burt, that sounds like a cautionary tale.
That is a perfect example of the problems you can get into by self-medicating and why you need to consult your physician, particularly if you're on medicines for any type of a chronic health condition, why you should consult your physician before you take any of these over-the-counter medicines or supplements.
You know, earlier,
thank you so much.
Earlier you said that we've got inadequate information, really, right now about, you know, how effective these things are and where we need to be. And could you explain that and maybe talk about whether there is research going on that will give us some better handle on all of this?
Well, there's always some research going on the supplement issues. I don't know if you heard the reports that came out in the middle of December about one of them was multivitamin supplements and cardiac.
I did not hear that.
Myocardial infarction.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was multivitamin supplements and Alzheimer's. And both of those studies suggested that or found that the supplements did not, in those groups of people, the supplements were not efficacious. I think they were in the annals of New York Academy of Medicine, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
One of the major medical journals, and their recommendation was is we just need to tell people to stop taking these things. So there's always research coming out. The research that's been coming out lately suggests that taking this, even something as simple as a multivitamin supplement is not helping. And people are spending billions of dollars, you know, I mean the population is, on these supplements. So there's research coming out, but it's not saying that supplements are helping. There are isolated studies, and these are usually the ones that get pushed most when something comes out and says, hey, you know, if you have Alzheimer's, taking vitamin E, you know, might help, and there was a study not too long ago. Those will get pushed heavily so people think that the vitamin E may prevent the Alzheimer's. Well, again, it's only in people with Alzheimer's that they found any effective assistance. And again, if a person has Alzheimer's, they should be consulting with their physician as to whether or not this might help them. In general, vitamin and mineral supplements are going to be helpful if you're deficient in them. So the first thing to do is to find out, do you have low levels of this? The example of the call-in mentioned the muscle cramps. You know, had he checked with his physician, he could have had his blood levels checked, and his physician could have told him, no, the vitamin D and calcium are not going to help.
Well, Diane, we've got to go, but thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That was Diane Burt, a professor in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Iowa State University.